Good morning. How you guys doing? We good? Are we still full from Thanksgiving? Like, are we good? Are we done with leftovers? Are we good? No, we're not done. Okay, you still got more. Hey, welcome to Encounter. My name is Austin. I'm the youth pastor here, and I've got the privilege to speak today. And so, happy Thanksgiving. I spoke this time last year, and I came on stage and said, I thought Thanksgiving is just okay. I'm not the biggest fan of the food. You would have thought I was talking bad about your mom or something. Like, it was the death threats I got from you guys. It was crazy. I'm kidding. But more importantly, Merry Christmas. Like, we are fully in the season. How many of you have your lights up already? Don't lie. There we go. How many of you have your tree up already? How many of you get a real tree? Where are my people at? Real tree. Only a couple of you? You're special. Let's go. We got a real tree last night, and man, I love it. It's the best. So, happy Thanksgiving, but also Merry Christmas. Man, it's crazy we are already in the season of Christmas. Like, that went so quick. But to let you know who I am as a human, I'm the type of guy who has Christmas playing as soon as, like, the end of August. Like, I love Christmas music so much that if you were to go in my car, I've got a Michael Bublé CD just on repeat all the time. You can ask any student that I take out to lunch or dinner. They're like, why do you have Christmas music on? It's September. Like, what are you doing? That's the type of Christmas guy I am. So I'm excited for Christmas. I'm excited to jump in this season. Man, it's going to be busy, which is why we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But first, I mentioned I'm the youth pastor, and it's just been really cool to see how the church responds to when we, as our youth ministry team, ask for help, or when we said we need some more volunteers. This is our first year having 30 volunteers or 30 youth workers. So it is amazing to see the church respond well when I ask for help with our teenagers of Encounter. And so I wanted to start by just saying thank you. We just had a Friendsgiving 2 weeks ago, and we knew we were going to have around 150 people in the room eating Thanksgiving food. And so Denise, who's my admin, and myself, we asked your guys' help to cook and to provide, and you guys did. And I just want to say thank you for constantly providing for our ministry of teenagers here at Encounter. It is amazing to know that the church is partnering with us on taking care of them and being by their side, because they need it. And that could be from cooking them a turkey, that could be from just praying for them, or being a volunteer on a Wednesday or a Sunday morning. And so I just want to say thank you to this church for always being there for our teenagers. It is amazing. There's even a couple, John and Natalie, what they did is they've been a part of the church only for a little bit, and they said, we'll come a couple hours early and deep fry 2 full turkeys. And so they're outside, it was raining, and they're deep frying turkeys for a group of teenagers that they don't even know. And that's the church that we have here. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that cares about the teenagers of Ventura. So thank you. The second thing is this. I love you. I always want to include what we do at Youth Group with you guys. But I don't get to be on stage too often. And whenever I do, I want to include things that we do for our student ministries so you get to see a piece of what they get to experience on a Wednesday. And so what we do pretty often, of course, we have worship through music, but we also have worship through prayer. And so what we do is, before we start, I know the lives of a lot of our teenagers is pretty crazy. And so when they show up on a Wednesday, some are believers, some aren't. Some had a really rough day, some are struggling, some had the best day of their lives. But when they show up in the same room, before we read scripture and jump into it, I just always want to make sure that we are on the same page. I want to make sure that we said anything that has happened about our day or our week or our month, we want to put aside for the next 20 or 30 minutes so we can experience God in a new and refreshing way. So if you want to be a part of that, here's what I'd love to ask you to do. I'd love for you just to close your eyes. You want to just close your eyes. My eyes will be open. I'll tell you what I tell our teenagers. My eyes will be open, so I'll know if your eyes are open. So I encourage you just to close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, I want you to first put both your hands just on your knees. Just put both your hands on your knees. Get a little comfortable. Not too comfortable. I don't want you to fall asleep. But I'd love for you to just put your hands facing down on your knees. I want you just to take a deep breath. Breath. with your eyes closed and your hands facing down on your knees. I want you just to think about, I want you to think about the things in your life right now that are keeping you up at night. I want you to think about the things that are causing you to worry. I want you to think about the things that didn't go the way you wanted the past month. I want you to think about that one person that you've been worried about. I want you to think about the thing that you've been struggling with that maybe no one else around you knows. And as you picture that in your head, maybe there's multiple things just kind of cycling through your brain right now. I want you to spend a second just praying to the Lord that you want to give whatever that is that you're struggling with, whatever that is that you're thinking about right now, I want you to give that to the Lord. And what that could look like is just, God, can you please take this off of my plate? God, can you help me with this worry that I have? God, there's this person in my life who I care so much about, and I would love for them to know who you are. Whatever that is, I want you to spend a few moments just praying to the Lord that you give it to him. And as you pray, I want you to imagine that worry, that struggle, that thing that's been bothering you for the past month. I want you to imagine that it's falling out of your hands, that it is falling out of your fingertips onto the floor right now. Now, when you're done praying, I want you to put your hands facing up. When you're done, I want you to put your hands facing up towards the roof, towards the sky, whenever you are done. Now, with your hands facing up, I want you to imagine that you now just made room in your heart and in your mind to accept something that God is going to reveal to you today. You just made room by letting go of saying, God, I want you to take this thing I'm struggling with, and I want to replace it with something you want to show me today. God, I don't know if it is a verse, I don't know if it's a word, I don't know if it's a conversation outside with someone, but God, reveal something to me today that's going to fill this spot in my heart and in my hands as I open them to you. I'll give you a couple of minutes for you to pray to the Lord about that. God, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this time that God, we get to just talk to you. That we have the freedom to do that right now, God. What a privilege that is. God, we thank you so much that we get to go to you for help, because God, we need it. We need your help. And so, Father, I pray for everyone in this room as we learn to let go of the things we're struggling with, God, that we give them to you, and as you call us in scripture to not worry. But God, as we do that, as we continue to make room in our hearts and in the places in our lives where we still need you, God, we pray right now, God, that we can hear from you, God, that we can see something through scripture, God, that when we leave, that we feel challenged, God, that we feel ready to move forward in our faith and in this intimate relationship with you, God. We just thank you so much for this place and just for allowing us to show you our true hearts and the things that we struggle with, God. And you are here to listen to us, but God, you are also here to show us and refresh us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you so much for this morning. We're so thankful, God. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. So now we're all on the same page, ready to move forward. So we are going to open our Bibles. If you have your Bible, flip open to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, reading out of Old Testament today. And there should be some Bibles in those seat back pockets. Feel free to grab one of those and flip that open. You can use your phones as well. I'm cool with that. I'm not used to that because I don't let teenagers use their phones at youth group. So me saying that just feels weird. But go ahead and use your phones. That's okay. I know you guys are probably not on Snapchat. So flip over to Deuteronomy 34. It'll be on the screen as well if you want to follow along there. Today's sermon, I'm titling it, Risk Takers. So for those who take notes, that could be the title. It's called Risk Takers. I want us to look at, imagine like you showing up today is you are now a part of an official club. All right, I'm starting a club today called the Risk Takers, and you are going to be a part of it. So welcome to my club. I'm so excited that we get to be in this club together. The only thing we're missing now is like a secret handshake. So start thinking of what that is. End of the service. We got it, okay? Secret handshake, really official club here. Deuteronomy 34, titled Risk Takers. Risk Takers. We're seeing the end of the life of Moses. And then we will be jumping straight into Joshua as we're done with Deuteronomy. So you'll keep that open. We'll just probably flip that page, look on the other page, and we'll be good. If you're there, say word. Word. Okay, a couple of you still flipping there. It's okay. Deuteronomy 34. All right, if you're there, say word.
Word.
All right, perfect. Okay, we will read this together. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of the Ephraim in Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab. As the Lord had said, he buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave was. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Verse 9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all the officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power and performed the awesome deeds that Moses did to the sight in Israel. Okay, we're going to go to Joshua 1 here. This is where the big chunk of nuggets are, okay? Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." Verse 5. "No one will be able to stand against you all of your days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. We'll stop there. When I was 14, like some 14-year-olds, I fell in love at summer camp. I'm going to be honest. I just grew in my relationship with the Lord. I accepted Christ in seventh grade, so I was still trying to learn, give you a background of who I was. I wasn't really the nicest kid. I didn't really make the best decisions. I didn't get the best grades. So when I went to summer camp, it was eighth grade going into freshman year is when I met Lexi Wilson. I already knew her because we were in kids choir together. We went to the same church. We're already part of the youth group. But I was like, man, I like this girl. We get to summer camp, and of course, I'm learning about the Lord, and I figure out that she is a strong Christian, and I was like, man, there's no way that we could ever be together. She will never love me the same. I'm not her type. So I spent that entire week saying, man, I'm going to try. I'm going to see. So I start hanging out with her. I'm like, man, I think you're pretty cool. I even lied to her and said that she's really good at beatboxing, but she wasn't. We got to hang out, our friend group started to connect a little bit, and I was like, man, it would be so cool if she ended up liking me back. I was like, I think I'm falling in love with this girl as a 14-year-old. This is great. And so summer camp ends, and I never had the chance to tell her, and I'm talking to one of my best friends, and he's like, you should try to get her number. Maybe you can just call her or text her and let her know, whatever you got to do, man, take that risk, go for it. I'm like, I don't know, She doesn't like guys like me. Like, you should see, she gets straight A's. She's on all the sports teams. I'm, like, into graffiti and failing classes. Like, we don't go together. And so I decided to take that risk, and I was like, man, I'm going to try. So I call her. I'm like, hey, it's Austin. She answered. And I said, you know, I just want to let you know, after hanging out with you at camp, I like you, and I would love for you to be my girlfriend. Maybe we can hang out this summer, and you know, I want you to think about it. That's if you don't, that's okay. She just hangs up. Nah, I'm just kidding. We talk a little bit. Can you imagine? She's like, yeah, right. Beep. No, we talk for a little bit, and that is probably one of the best decisions I ever made of taking that risk. You fast forward, we dated all through high school. We got married. We've got two kids. And it actually worked, guys. What? Yes. She fell for the bad boy. Man, it was the best risk I've ever taken in my life was to let her know that I liked her. And it worked. It was a risk that I was willing to take. Although I was scared, although that feeling I had, my heart was racing. I thought, man, this actually won't work. The doubt started to flood in, and I had to make that risk and take that risk, and because I did, the outcome was the best thing that has ever happened to me. The risk that I took, although I felt that I didn't want to or that I was struggling with, I'm glad that I took that risk. We just read a story where now Joshua is in a place where he needs to take risks. Moses frees God's people. They walk through the desert for a really long time. A couple moments where the people are coming to Moses saying, we need water. We have no water right now. We really need it. We are struggling. And so he goes to God to pray and ask, and he says, I want you to strike this rock. And so he strikes the rock, and water comes out, and then that is that he provides for his people. Time goes on. He says, you know, instead of the people go to Moses again saying, we're struggling, we need water, as they continue to move through the desert. And so he goes to God again and says, should I strike the rock? And he says, I actually want you to speak to the rock this time. And when you speak to the rock, they're going to know that they're going to honor me and see how powerful I am. And out of frustration with the people around him, Moses decides to strike the rock instead of speak to it. And because of that, he can't take his people to the promised land. God says, you disobeyed me. You can't go through the promised land, but I will show you it. puts on the top of the mountain at the end of his life and says, this is the land that I promised the ancestors and your people. You won't be walking them through it, but you get to see it. Moses then dies. It says, because he laid his hands onto Joshua, Joshua is now going to lead this group. If I were Joshua, I would be saying this. That was not a part of the plan. Moses was supposed to be doing that, not me. Now you want me to fill his shoes and lead all of these people? I remember when, and we talked about this in youth group a couple months ago, and I was like, man, I can't even imagine how many people the Israelites were. And there's this one student, his name's Emerson, and I promise you he'll be a pastor one day. Front row, Bible open, he's like, 600,000 men, not including women and children. And I was like, man, you know more about the Bible than I do already. This is crazy. And so imagine that. If you've ever been to like a football game or like a Taylor Swift concert, you know that there's a lot of people that can fit a stadium. Imagine that times like 10. Joshua now has to lead them to the promised land? Imagine the feelings that Joshua probably has. I don't think I can do it. I am not Moses. Those are some big shoes I need to fill. I'm scared. I've got some fear. What if I can't do it? But because God called him to it, now all of a sudden, he needs to take that risk. And what will happen when he takes that risk? What does God say when he needs to take that risk? And I want us to imagine if he didn't take that risk, that's because the fear overcame him, and fear was the reason that he's not able to lead the people around him. Taking that huge risk is something he needed to do to lead the 600,000 men, not including the women and the children. So I would imagine almost a million people that he needs to lead as one person. So I want to look back at a couple verses. If you're a person that highlights like me, or you write notes, or you want to draw in your journal Bible, I'm cool with that. But I want you to look at a couple verses here. So in Joshua 1:6, we'll start there. I like to picture this section as a conversation. So I want you to imagine, like, when you're in a conversation with someone and they're talking and talking, and when they're saying something to you, you automatically probably have some like response in your head, or you're thinking certain things. I would imagine that's what is happening. The Lord is talking to Joshua, and he starts saying things of like, hey, here's what you're going to do. You're going to lead my people. You're going to cross the Jordan River. I got you. I've already done it with Moses when we're crossing water. I'll do it with you. Don't worry. I will never leave you. Wherever you lay your head, I will be with you. Then he comes to this verse in Joshua 1:6. It says, be strong and courageous. I want you to highlight that first part. Be strong and courageous. Then he goes on and says, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them. I can imagine the break here of Joshua saying, you want me to lead these people? Are you sure that's what you want? Like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. So then he comes back at him with, again, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Almost like he continues, he's like, no, be strong and very courageous. You got this. But be careful to obey all the law that Moses, and he goes on to say, man, turn to the left or the right, and you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Thinking he was probably lacking that in his mind. Then at that point, he's probably saying, I don't think I could. You want me to, everything Moses said? Moses said a lot. Like, you want all of that? You want to let everyone know what he said? What if I can't remember? What if I say it wrong? What if I do something wrong? This isn't how we've done it for years. We've already spent many, many years doing it the same way. Why do we have to change it up now? We already have a tradition of how we've done things. We've already done things a certain way. Why do I now need to do this? Then he comes at him with this, with Joshua 1:9, my favorite verse. Have I not commanded you? Have I not already told you? Are you not even listening? Be strong and courageous. There's that repeating phrase. But then he continues, which I would assume this is what Joshua's feeling. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want you to highlight verse 9 as well. He's probably in a place saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. God saying, no, be strong and courageous. Yeah, but what if I mess up? This isn't a part of the plan. Be strong and very courageous. Yeah, I know, but you want me to lead the people? You want me to be strong and courageous. Do not be scared or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I got you. He's saying, take that risk, because don't worry. I've got your back. I'm with you. But if he was scared, he would be losing the opportunity to lead God's people. If he let the fear be stuck within him, then he wouldn't be leading the people that he's supposed to lead. He wouldn't move forward. He wouldn't take that risk. We do that sometimes. We let the fear in our heart stop us from taking that risk. We let the awkward moments be the reason why we don't invite people to church. We struggle to take a risk in our life because we are nervous, because it causes us to feel like we shouldn't. We don't know if we're going to be embarrassed, if it's something we're going to struggle with. But if we never take that risk, we'll never know what the outcome of what God wants for us. I saw this video. There was this church in Greece, a big cathedral, and they were restoring it. They decided it was time to make it look fresh, but still keep the same elements within it. There's a huge painting on the wall. And so they decided, I think we're going to take the risk, and we're going to try to remove this painting as we redo it and freshen it up. When they removed the huge painting on the wall, revealed behind it was an even older, more detailed painting that revealed more of the history of that church that they would have never known if they didn't remove that painting. So when they pulled back the painting, it revealed even an older, more detailed historical painting. But they would have never known it was behind it if they weren't willing to refresh and take that painting down. The risk that we take could be like taking that painting down. We can now say that, I want to remove and take that risk, and it might reveal something that is more detailed that we needed to see in our life beyond that. We are entering in a very important season of Christmas, which I'm really excited about. I already told you. I'm very excited about Christmas. But what happens at Christmas is it gets very, very busy. It's very chaotic. We feel like we have to fit everything in within like 26 days or longer if you're me. I start September 1st. Anyone else? Yeah. We try to fit everything in. I think what happens is God is calling us. I really do. I think God wants us to take a risk. When you read scripture, you see that over and over of risk takers, which we are now a part of that club, that we are now able to take a risk. So from now until this end of the season, I want us to be challenged with what type of risk should we be taking? What is a risk that we can take that's going to grow our relationship with God or help someone's relationship with God? Joshua had a risk to take. He was going to lead all of God's people to the promised land. Was that a part of the plan? No. Was that what they've been doing for years? No. You might have your traditions of what you do around Christmas season every single year. I do. There's certain things we do every single time. Black Friday, we get our Christmas tree. We always go to In-N-Out before. We go to Big Wave Dave's. We take pictures there. We don't buy the Christmas tree. Then we go to Home Depot, and we get a tree for a lot cheaper, and we strap it on the top of our tree. Well, on the top of our car. What we used to do was throw it through the window, but I've got two kids now, and I can't do that anymore. So we strap it on the top, take it home, and decorate it. That's like one of many traditions we have. What if I were to say to them, what if there's something we can do to take a risk this season that looks different than every other year of your Christmas? Like, what if you get to know Jesus in a deeper way, although you've been a Christian for many, many years, because you took a specific risk this season that now you're going to grow closer in your intimate relationship with Jesus? There's a risk that I think we are all willing to take. We just know exactly what it is. So here's what I want to do. I have four examples or ideas of risks that you can take. I have a feeling some of you are already saying, oh, I know that risk already. Like, I've already, as soon as you said that, as soon as you mentioned how hard it's going to be, I know what risk I should take. Am I going to? I don't know. Some of you might need some points that we can look at that might help you think of what risks we need to take. So for those who write notes, for those who are on your phone, this is the part I want you to do. Okay, so number one, four notes here. Number one, to risk is to receive. Here's what I want this to be. To risk is to receive. This one probably goes for those who maybe don't have a relationship with God yet. Maybe you're on the fence, you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you had a strong faith, but it fell out a little bit. To risk is to receive. I like to look at it this way. I remember this was taught in a Sunday school a long, long time ago, and I still use it today. So shout out to Children's Ministries. If I have a gift for you, This is a gift for you. You probably ask, well, what did I do to deserve that? I'm going to say, well, really nothing. I just got you a gift. And this gift will change your life. And you might say, well, I didn't get you a gift, so I can't take that. Like, I didn't get you one. Like, that's okay. This gift is just for you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. But this is a gift that you can accept. And so when we risk, some of us might need to take the risk of receiving this gift from God, which is his son Jesus, who died on a cross, rose again 3 days later to wash away all of our sins. And you have the opportunity to accept this gift. This gift is for you. Not because you did anything, not because you went to church many times or you prayed enough that you now get to accept this gift, but it's by the faith that you believe in God, believe in Jesus died on the cross, that you get to accept this gift. Like, that's for you, the gift of Jesus. Here's some verses that connect to it. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin that I just talked about is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There is a gift that God has for us. That in this room, if you haven't accepted that gift, man, if you were to accept it, this season will be completely different. You won't just be celebrating Christmas trees and presents. You'll be celebrating the birth of our King. Like, how important would that be for this season to be the one saying, I'm going to take the risk and receive Jesus into my heart? That's number one. Another idea. Number two, to risk means to remember. Write that down. To risk means to remember. I would also put a second title to this. I don't normally like this saying, but the reason for the season. To risk means to remember. Some of us have been a part of tradition so long that showing up to Christmas Eve service doesn't really mean too much other than it's a tradition that you do. Sometimes we go through things in our life that we actually forget. We forget the hard times. We forget the blessings. And so to take a step back and to say, my risk, I'm going to take a risk and actually remember everything that happened, although it's hard to remember. I'm going to remember the things that I've been trying to push out, although God got me through that struggle, through that storm. I'm blessed to know that I get to see it. The risk is actually remembering what Jesus did, remembering the actual birth of our King, remembering that what Christmas Eve actually represents. Like, we get so caught up in the normal things of what Christmas might look like that we actually forget to remember what it truly means. An example, when we're setting up our Christmas tree, my wife's, we're recording our daughter's Sailor, she's 3 years old, and we're like, what are we doing? She's like, oh, we're setting up the tree, and we're so excited, and I just love it. She starts talking, and then it goes to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm so excited to celebrate our family. It's so fun to get our Christmas tree, this tradition, and I just love it, so excited. How about you, Georgia? That's my one-year-old, and we're talking, and then all of a sudden, I realize my Sailor goes, yeah, and also the birthday of Jesus. And I was like, oh yeah, and that. Like, I said that at the very end after talking about the Christmas tree and the traditions we're gonna do, and even my 3-year-old daughter was like, you mean the birthday of Jesus? I'm like, and that, you're right. Sometimes we forget to put that first. So maybe we need to take a risk and actually just continue to remember what this season really means. Then we'll grow and see what God has for us this season. Number three, I think this will be for a lot of us. These are all challenges, I like to say. So when I want to challenge our church to think about these or write these down, I'm never going to challenge you to do something that I'm not going to also accept the challenge, okay? So when I wrote these down, these are things that I also need in my life. Number three, to risk is to rest. To risk is to rest. This season is about to be very chaotic. It can be very full. I've got like 14 Christmas parties already planned. To risk is to rest. A lot of us might need to slow down. we want to start adding a lot of things in the Christmas season of like, I got to make sure to get all these Black Friday gifts. I need to make sure I can't miss my Christmas cards. I didn't send it to that cousin. I need to order another 1,000. Like, I need to send those out. I need to make sure that my house looks good, that my lights are up first in my neighborhood. I need to make sure that we're going to go Christmas caroling because we didn't do it last year, but we make sure we need to do it this year. There's a lot of things that we want to do and fill our time that might look chaotic and crazy, although fun. Don't get me wrong. I told you I'm a Christmas guy. But if we don't stop to rest, then we might miss the point. If we don't stop and slow down, take a deep breath, and be still, we actually might miss what Jesus is showing us. We need the rest. And some of us need to take that risk and do it. I talked about my daughters. If you're a parent, you have kids, and you're specifically babies and toddlers, if you miss quiet time or a nap time, you know how crazy that day is. Like when we miss a quiet time or a nap time, it's like it created two little monsters. The day gets crazy. It shows how important it is that they need their nap time or quiet time. They need a rest. Not always a nap. They need to just chill, maybe read some books, relax. When they have that, it's like they get their energy back. They remember, like, oh, I feel better now. I had time to rest. We need that. We need to find time to rest. Last one is this, probably one of the most important ones I would say for today. This will be my biggest challenge. Risk new relationships. Risk new relationships. There's a quote by Bob Goff. It says this: people who take huge risks aren't afraid to fail. It's because falling means they found an edge. Falling means they found an edge. When we risk new relationships, what I mean by that is that we take that risk of saying, man, I have these relationships in my life, but I want to invite them into something new. I want to have a new relationship with them. I want to make sure that this Christmas season, that I want to invite the people around me into what I'm going to experience. Like, if I'm gonna know who Jesus is, knowing how he's going to be born, and we're going to celebrate that, the birth of our Messiah, the King, and I have relationships where they're not going to experience that, I want to bring them in so they now have a new relationship and a new experience. One of the examples I have is there's a student in our youth group named Hunter. Hunter's been going to our youth group for a couple of years. And he would bring friends once in a while. But this past school year, he brought a new friend named Jacob. And Jacob started to come, and I noticed he started to like it. He got connected. I actually knew who his uncle was, and so we had this connection. And he started to continue to come more and more. That's because Hunter invited him. Then Jacob came to Moose Mountain. He started to know who Jesus is. One Sunday, we have a high school Bible study. I'm taking Hunter home. I'm like, bro, it's been so cool that you invited Jacob. Like, how did that start? You've been going here for years, but he's only been coming for a couple of months. He's like, I know, I've invited him over and over, and I just kept giving him the invitation to come to church. Finally, he accepted it, and now he wants to come all the time. Little does he know that earlier that day, I talked to Jacob, and Jacob wants to get baptized. Like, all of this came because Hunter took that risk and invited one of his friends who doesn't know Jesus to church, and now he has a new relationship with Jacob on a deeper level, and also Jacob has a new relationship with Jesus. Like, the power of taking a risk in Hunter was so strong that one of his best friends now knows Jesus, now wants to get baptized, all because of an invitation. He took a risk and said, I'm just gonna invite him. I'm gonna see what happens. This is going to be my challenge, just to see if he's going to come. I'm not going to give up. And he took that risk. Pastor John, for the past couple of weeks, has been sharing this idea of each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. This has been one of my biggest struggles to actually commit to. So I put it in the sermon today so you can hear it when I say, my risk is going to be in new relationship. I've got a few friends who I love. They don't believe in God. They're atheists. They're close to me. I love them. I've never invited them to church. I'm a pastor. That's going to be my risk I'm going to take, is to invite them multiple times to the things we have going on. The worst thing they're going to say is no. That's my risk I'm going to take. I'm going to invite a few of my friends who don't believe in God to our church. And if they want to come, they can. I hope they do. But that's going to be my challenge. So I'm going to be doing it with you. Each one, reach one. I want you to feel the challenge to take the risk. Maybe that one's for you. Who's that one person that you could invite? And we have plenty of events coming up that you get to invite them to, including our Christmas Eve service. And so, those are our challenges. What I want to end with is this. I want to actually take time now for you to finish this sentence. I am going to risk blank this season. I want to give you time now before you leave, so that when you get in your car, you can have that conversation with whoever you came with, or you can actually start to think about this and pray about it, or you can make this and post it on your Instagram. Like, this is what you're going to do. As I challenge you, as we are challenged together, I want to give you time right now to actually answer that question. So for those who are taking notes, for those who want to pray about it, I'm going to give you about a minute and a half for you to answer that. Before you do, my last thing is this. When I looked up the definition of risk or taking risks, a risk is a situation involving exposure to danger. Taking a risk, found a definition, says it means to be pushed outside of your comfort zone into a place of unknown that may shift the outcome of what was once normal. The dramatic pause there. What was once normal. When you take a risk, both of them, if you have a risk and you go into danger, or taking a risk of outside of your comfort zone of what is once was normal to you, what happens is, when I took the risk of asking Lexi Wilson to be my girlfriend and tell her I liked her, my heart is racing. Your heart beats fast. That's a feeling you get when you take a risk. What risk are you going to take this season that's going to make your heart beat fast? What risk are you going to take this season that is going to make your heart beat fast? As you think about that, as you process that, I want you to answer this question. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you just a minute before we go into a time of worship, which is you and the Lord, to pray about it, to think about it. What risk do you want to take this season? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, it is crazy to see how you gave that risk and that challenge to Joshua. God, he didn't have Moses with him anymore. God, he was going to lead your people by himself. God, he needed to take this risk. You gave him the challenge, God. For us in this season, God, I pray that you can challenge us. God, that you can let us take a risk and not be stuck in being afraid or discouraged. But God, when we listen to your word, that we will be strong and courageous, knowing that you will be with us wherever we go. No matter what decision, no matter what risk we take, Father, you will be with us. God, you will guide us through that decision. If it's inviting people to one of our services, God, if it's finding rest this season, God, if it is accepting you for the first time, God, we pray now that you allow us to take the risk and to be strong and courageous in all that we do. We love you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.